GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life.
Welcome, friends and fans, to another edition of GalaxyCon Live, where we are bringing the convention experience directly to you. And today, we are going back to the Ghost River Triangle with the cast of Winona Earp. So without further ado, let's grab our Peacemaker and bring them out. Our first guest is a writer and producer whose body of work includes Lost Girl, Instant Star, and Killjoys. Today, she joins us as a creator and showrunner of Winona Earp. Please welcome back Emily Andres.
Hi, Patty. Nice to see you. Hi, everyone.
Yeah. Great to see you again, Emily. How are you holding up?
Super good. You know, life in Canada, freezing cold. Happy to be here.
As always, glad to have you back. I'm sending some Florida energy and warmth your direction.
Please do. Thank you.
The rest of your northern castmates. And coming up next, she is an actress and filmmaker whose body of work includes Utopia Falls, Ghost Rider, and Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Today, she joins us as Black Badge agent Jeannie Locato. Please welcome back Kate Drummond.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Patty. Hey, Emily.
Hi.
Kate, how are you?
You know, I'm surviving. I think I'm wearing earrings for the first time in, ooh, I don't know, like two years. But, you know, just happy to be here and connecting with everyone. I miss everyone so much. So
I don't know the earring experience, but so many times taking a mask off and then my glasses get, I'm like, ow!
Right.
I absolutely appreciate it. Well, Kate, absolutely welcome back. Glad to have you here once again. And next, she is an actress whose credits include Working Mom, Good Witch, and the Finesse Splits movie. Today, she joins us as head of the Gardner family portion, Mercedes Gardner. Please welcome back Danny Kind.
Hi.
How are you, Danny?
I'm great. Patty, you're so great. Your energy is like so exciting. I know. And amazing.
That's what I'm here for. Plus, you know, I it always helps too when I have a great show and a great cast and folks like yourselves. Oh, see, wow. We're even flying off like that early. So, Danny, how are you doing in your corner of the world?
I'm great. My kids are upstairs. They're probably going to interrupt this a million times. Yeah,
that is totally okay. The fun thing about this format is we met kids, we meet pets, we meet spouses, we meet partners, whole nine yards. Everybody loves it.
Great. Okay, good.
An open invitation. So, and next, he is an actor whose credits include The Call, Bates Motel, and Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. Today, he joins us as leader of the Revenants, Bobo Del Rey. Please welcome back Michael Eglund.
Woo! Cheers!
Hey, everybody!
Cheers. Oh, I have a Diet Pepsi. It's not that fun, but cheers.
Yeah. Usually I don't drink until the end, but okay.
It's going to be that kind of panel.
Oh, it's going to be that kind.
Indeed. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just happy to be here with you guys and see all my lovely friends once again, because it's been way, way, way too long.
Agreed.
And I take full responsibility for not reaching out.
Whatever. It's good. We're always good. We're all family. It's fine. Just show up. You can sleep over anytime.
I'm just lonely.
Well, you're about to meet a million Earpers, so.
That's right. And let's look at that. He is an actor whose credits include Dawn, Anna, Klondike, and Heartland. Today, he joins us to discuss the role of former Sheriff Randy Deadly. Please welcome back Greg Lawson.
Hey, guys. I'm just sitting here in Calgary waiting for season 5 to start.
Amazing. Let's just do it. Let's just start making it and maybe no one will stop us.
Hey, Greg, full disclosure, my Christmas tree is still up downstairs too.
Wow. I'm not the only one.
No. We usually keep it up till St. Patty's Day, so it's all good.
I have a friend of mine who was visiting. And she said that everybody wants to know what the inside of your apartment looks like. And she told them that it was Christmas and that it was crazy.
Do you really leave it up all year, Greg?
Yeah.
You're like Mariah Carey.
I do. It's Calgary. It snows in July.
He's exactly like Mariah Carey. So
there. Yeah.
Flip the switch. I have it connected to Alexa now, which is awesome.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. Alexa, Christmas lights.
Amazing.
The energy bill goes. Yeah. Building go. Yeah.
There you go. Well, Greg, welcome back. Glad to have you in good health and good spirit. And finally, she's an actress and director whose body of work in front and behind the camera include Damien, The Hardy Boys, and Bad Blood. Today, she joins us to discuss the title role of Winona Earp herself. Please welcome back Melanie Scafato.
I just, Patty, I'm so sorry. I just want to try something. Alexa, turn Christmas lights off.
I got it on mute. I got it on mute, Mel.
Alexa, unmute.
That would have been amazing. Alexa, give me Greg's pin.
Oh, Mel, how have you been?
Same as everybody there. Yeah. I miss everybody. I'm all right. I got the cocoa. I had COVID. I don't know, did everybody here get COVID?
Raise your hand if you've gotten COVID.
Ta-da! Greg. Oh, Emily. Got it.
I got a cold once.
Yeah, if anything, I think I had it early and just was like, why can't I open my jaw?
That's
not COVID. You know, I got to qualify. That doesn't sound like COVID. Well, as far as I know, I haven't had it.
Okay,
me too.
That's fair. That's fair. I got it 2 days before Christmas. Boy, that was fun.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
And I got misdiagnosed, so I was social on Christmas, and I had to make that was some embarrassing phone calls to make on Monday. Yeah, get tested. Nobody got it from my circle. Oh. So you know, thank goodness for some small favors. And
Mel, did your whole family have it?
Oh yeah, I masked up and I went in my bedroom and I closed the door and it was like a great excuse not to do anything.
Yeah, see children.
Danny, you're like yep. I love that. But then they all slowly started testing positive. So Jeff's like, you can come out now.
And, and you're like, no, I can't.
Yeah. I had it and no, but my kids basically licked the inside of my mouth and they still didn't get it. Nobody got it.
Damn it.
Wow. I know. Their dad didn't get it. Like nobody. It was wild.
I miss the days when we just talked about not using plastic straws.
We'll get back
Slowly but surely. Well, friends, once again, thank you for joining us here on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Our team's about ready to go through our questions, but I just again I just want to throw this out once again. Thank you all for being a part of this absolutely remarkable series. It was a great run. It has just a thriving and continually thriving fandom, and I still keep encountering people like, you know what, during lockdown I discovered it and I'm a huge fan of everything else. So once again, I thank you all for your talents. I thank you all for the performances or the writing you brought to the roles, and I thank you for the professionalism. It really is a testament.
That's so nice, Patty.
I know. It was super
fun. He's really good at his job.
I know. I'm going to cry. It's the first 5 minutes.
Let's save that for last. But I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and roll our first question. And this comes from Kate, who wants to know, if there were a character from a different universe that could be in an episode, who would you pick? Huh. That's interesting. It's kind of like the fandom mashup question, but
this is a very complicated question. My brain's going
great.
Different universe.
So for different fandom, it could be Luke Skywalker, Spider-Man, James Bond.
I need things spelled out for me big time apparently today.
Oh gosh.
I'm a huge Danny DeVito fan, so I would say like the Penguin from that Batman movie played by Danny DeVito specifically.
Oh my God, it's so specific.
Batman Returns. Yeah.
Yeah, like him. He used to have like a love affair with Bunny Loblaw in some kind of way. Something like that.
That's how you interpret it. Something like that, eh? Like nothing too serious. Oh shit.
You can go serious, Kate. You do you. Do whatever you want.
Emily Andrus, this question is primed for your brain.
I know. I don't
know. No. My thing is like, I would always, it's a prop.
Different universe. I would be, just because I'm super loving this series, I would be the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Grogu. If I, you know, one or the other.
Grogu.
I would be Grogu. Right. And I would be Sheriff Nedley's pet sidekick.
Wow. Would be
yeah,
you know, just because.
Right.
Greg needs the cat. Yeah.
Greg needs a little extra.
And see what would happen. What would happen if the Mandalorian or Grogu was thrown into the ERP universe?
I know, and that's kind of what I was. Where I'm taking Grogu, I'm putting them into the Winona ERPiverse.
All right. What you got, Mikey?
Because you know I hate Baby Yoda.
Who's Grogu?
He's Baby Yoda, but we're not allowed to call him.
Oh, that's Baby Yoda. Okay.
I feel like on our show, Winona would back up the truck and accidentally run over Baby Yoda in the first 2 minutes. And it'd be really rough, but like, I know.
Kind of like what happened to Licato. It would be a short-lived, you know, existence.
Yeah, brain exploded.
Way shorter.
Yeah.
What about She-Ra?
Yeah, She-Ra would be good.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Except I don't remember anything about it other than I thought it was really cool.
Princess of Power.
I would do like, it's a product of my age, but I would do like all those heroines from the 90s. Like I would do a Buffy, yeah. Jennifer Garner from Aliens, Ripley from Aliens, Xena, just mashup. I don't know how it would happen, but they'd all just show up.
So hot. That was like
the Alias pilot is amazing. It's like, so good.
Good. I loved that show.
Yeah. Do you remember the episode after the Super Bowl where it's just like Jennifer Garner coming out in like black lingerie? And I was like, what's happening? It was a lot. I didn't
hate
it.
To the party, but here she is.
That was a perfect
I know that girl.
I just got your text where you're like, why are you not here? I'm like, I am here. I'm coming. I just finished my session. Sorry, guys. I'm like in at the wire.
We just have a couple of math questions we need to ask you. If that's okay. Just publicly to do super quick. Yeah.
Totally okay. You actually were not on my schedule. So thanks for popping in and joining us for this.
Me?
I thought you were just doing your one-to-ones. So okay.
No, I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. That's
like letting my greasy, disgusting.
Let that hair down.
Actually live right now.
You are just in time for our first fan question, and wants to know if is there a character from another fandom or franchise that you would love to bring into the Winotaverse?
Oh God!
And while you think of that, my hair would never do what your hair just did.
I agree. When I took it out,
took it out, and it did this thing.
Another character from another. I'm trying to think of the last thing I saw. I would like guys. What's the name of the matriarch in Downton Abbey?
Oh, Maggie Smith, but I can't remember her name.
But what's her
Maggie
character's Smith. Name?
Dame Downton.
Dame something. Dame real badass cool. I would put her in Winona Earp.
That's so
funny. She'd be amazing.
Wouldn't it be hilarious and amazing?
She'd be so judgy. Yeah, I love
it. It would be awesome.
That would be very, very cool. So Greg, you got one?
Horny version of Columbo.
So horny.
Nice. I feel like I was horny for Columbo. He was great.
Oh my God.
Like, we got confetti.
Oh, yeah. Just one more question. The waitress over there, is she single?
Yeah, exactly. He was so good.
I have it all on DVD. I just watch him all the time.
Columbo all day long, right, Greg?
The writing was brilliant. Peter Falk, I've been searching all my life for a quirky detective role.
You almost writing got there. You had a few Nedley moments.
Well, yeah. Quirky sheriff role. I've always wanted to play a detective that nobody liked.
Stop being so likable.
And he's set up with a partner who's very sarcastic, but he doesn't understand sarcasm. So
you should write this, Greg.
Yeah.
You should.
No. Throw it out.
Alexa, write
fanfic.
Kat, it was very funny. You missed the whole thing. You missed the
Kat,
I know.
Kat, we're all trying to take over Greg's Alexa.
Oh.
I'll explain later.
Do you have a new relationship with Alexa going? Is this what's happening at your house? How many packages do you get a day? That was not a euphemism.
Did you ever see that movie called Her with Joaquin Phoenix?
I love that movie. It was
so that's Greg and Alexa.
Really? Greg, I'm happy for you.
That's his new girlfriend.
Oh,
amazing.
And Mikey, you got a character you've thrown into the Earthverse?
Well, you know, Winona is like, you know, kind of like a contemporary Western. I'm really like the last 3 days sitting in my apartment, lonely, bored. I've been getting into Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody watch that?
Oh, and, yeah. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's merge those two shows.
Amazing.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. Nice. There you have it. And Emily, I'll date myself and say I would have loved to have seen Kolchak the Night Stalker. I would have really seen that. And Kate, great question to start us off with. Thank you. And what do we have next?
Thanks,
from Rachel.
Kate.
Do you have a favorite deleted scene that you wish could have made it into the show?
Oh.
I don't know what's deleted or not.
Did we do
Emily, what's been deleted?
Oh, all the bad stuff. I mean, this is the truth, which isn't that sexy, but like, because we were on such a tight budget, we didn't have the luxury of like oodles and oodles of scenes that didn't make it into the show. I'm trying to think. There is, of course, Nedley devouring Calamity Jane for like 7 hours to like a Flight of the Bumblebees, but I can't think of one. Like, honestly, it's pretty, I'm so sorry. I can't think of one. It's pretty sparse. Like, we have to deliver pretty tight scripts just because we didn't have the luxury of an extra day of shooting. So I feel like by the time we got to the floor, everything we shot, almost all of it made it onto the screen.
Yeah.
I can't think of
anything
one
that was deleted in my perspective.
Can you guys? Yeah, I don't know.
I can think of one, but
okay, like, go. Phew.
Yeah. Oh, go, Melly.
It's horrible.
You must have some
help alive, because it was one that Paolo was like, Melly, you take this one and shoot it. And
I know that one. Yeah.
Oh God. Oh, I'm gonna barf. And anyway, but it was Kat and Sebastian, Charlie.
Yeah.
And a bunch of
Julian. Yeah.
Julian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah. And so that literally in 4 seasons, that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, it's the Christmas episode. It's when Nicole brings all the kids back from the abattoir to meet their parents again, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was purely a time thing. The directing was phenomenal.
Okay. Like, I was hot.
No, it was purely just like a story thing, I think. I swear. And like, I still think we use some of it. Like, you use like Jeremy and having his first kiss with Robin. Like, some of it made it in, I think. But the only other one I can think of, which is going to make everyone super, super, when we came back post COVID, there was the re-engagement scene. Kat, do you remember that?
Yeah.
With the couch in the motel, and there was like more written. I know everyone's going to tweet at me, but like, it did feel like we'd had 3 engagements by that point, 3 proposals. Yeah. So like, we kind of loved the montage of it all, but
there was some dialogue. That's right. So it was technically in there, but it wasn't the scene per se.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Mikey's got one.
Yeah.
I do remember one. Me and Tim tried very hard to throw a lot of Bobo Doc Holliday connection.
Tension? Oh, yeah.
And that never made it in. And I know there was a few takes where I licked him a lot.
Yeah. There was a really good one where you sniffed Doc's hat. That made it in.
Well, tension? Is that what you're talking about?
Me and Tim were always trying to slip in some, like, what's their real background? Oh, we were always trying to slip that in.
I would pay money to see that.
The
Old West was a very bisexual place. It was
anything
goes.
That's what I'm trying to say. We tried to always get that in.
And you eventually you get bored of campfire songs. You know, got to something
exactly
else.
Maybe you and Tim can do a little BTS reenactment and just like post it for the fans myself.
There you go.
There's clips on Twitter. There's clips on Twitter people have found.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How do you find it if it was never released?
The ERPers have their ways. They have their ways. They have connections that we don't understand. They've been hacked.
They're going to hack poor Greg's Alexa after this. I'm worried for him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Greg, you're
going to
hear his voices.
We threw a lot of Brokeback Mountain into
it was really good, though. It was really good.
That's amazing.
Well, there you have it, Rachel. Fun question. Thank you. And what do we have next? Here's one from Erpsista. Is there a question you've never been asked about Winona that you wish someone would ask?
Oh, boy.
This is a...
Crickets. Just
that you wish.
That's Yeah, what's the one food you wish existed that you want to eat?
Yeah. What's your problem, Andrus? I wish someone would say that. What's your goddamn problem?
What is your problem?
What's your deal? Yeah. I can't think of one.
I feel like Ubers are so great at covering all the bases. Yeah. And I always feel like they know the show and the characters almost better than I do.
Oh, definitely.
So
oh, for sure.
I feel like they have covered it. Like, covered it.
I based my character on their observation.
I have definitely gone back to the like Winona Earp wiki page for little refreshers before we start a new season.
Oh,
for
yeah.
sure.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like, yeah. oh right, that right.
Yeah,
it's fun. Like if you go back and rewatch it, I'm like, this is actually pretty good. Like it's fun. Like I went back and I saw season one recently and I was like, this was super fun. And like I see it through the eyes of like we were kind of like, what the hell is going on? But it was wonderful. Wonderful from
question,
the get-go.
Emily.
You guys were wonderful.
I have a question for Emily. What's your favorite? Now that it's all said and done, what's your favorite season? Not just based on like footage, but the experience.
Yeah.
Obviously,
that's
season
a great
one
question.
Was new. But what was your
season
favorite season
one was the you know what? Season one was probably the hardest in a weird way because it was just like everyone was figuring it out. It was so hard from a writing perspective and just like behind the scenes dynamic. I think season two, because I think we were presented with an opportunity, which was Mel got super knocked up. And like, there was something like, it was like being the captain of the Titanic where like, we were just going to get through the iceberg or we won't. And then I thought like, it was so beautiful that season. Does that make sense? Like just it ended up being such an unexpected choice. We would never have made Winona pregnant in second season ever. That feels like a season seven idea. And it was such a unique, incredible storyline. I really love season two. What's your favorite season? Yeah. What's your favorite season, guys? That's a great question.
I'm going to go with two. One was so fresh and like we were so like finding it.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting. But then we really locked in and found our legs in two. For me.
Yeah.
I love two.
I'm really proud of four, but four was hard because of COVID and the delay. Like, I love four. I love four on screen, but I found behind the scenes I missed just being able to hang out with people for at the same level. Does that make sense? Like, it was challenging.
You saw beavers in the river.
Yeah, I saw beavers. That was the greatest day of my life.
Mel, you were there every episode, every day. It's your show. What was your favorite? And you turned into like director mode. So what's your favorite? Yeah.
What's my favorite?
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Well, like two was just so special in a way that's like impossible to replicate. Like it was just such a generous gift, Emily, that you just like wrote it in. It wasn't just like, and she's pregnant. You also like put in some pee jokes and like some like things that like, and you literally said like, whatever you're going through, let's just use that. And so it just became really personal. Season two, season four was so special because I got to like direct. And so I got to experience the whole story from every facet. And it's a story that I loved telling so much. So then being able to be involved that thoroughly was very exciting, but yeah, probably season two.
Did you guys know on I don't even know if I'm allowed to tell this story.
Do it.
On Ben Helsing, you know, the very same thing happened.
Yes, I knew that. Yes, and you know, it was really hard.
And they were both shows were not allowed to, if this is true.
Yeah.
Both Winona and Ben Helsing, because their lead actress also was pregnant. But only one show could actually, is this true? One show could use it and one had to hide it.
What? Well, yes, because we almost got there first. Yeah. Like,
I was working on both.
I know. Yeah. It was really hard. It was really hard. And that's, wow. I think that was a, I think that was really hard on them. Yes.
They let, yeah.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
But it was, and I know the Van Helsing showrunners, and like a lot of conversations were going back and forth, but like, it was also just one of those things. Like it was not, if I ran a network, I'd be like, everyone's pregnant all the time. Like just boom.
But both shows are very similar, right?
Yeah.
Because there's like in Winona, it was like, we had the revenants, the demons and stuff with Winona. Then on Van Helsing, there was like the Van Helsing family.
Yeah.
But it was a lead woman. Both of you got pregnant.
Yeah.
At the same time.
By the same man. Just kidding. I made that up. By Jeff. No, I'm just kidding.
But both are
living in the fertility clinic right now, and the jokes are through the roof in this house.
Yeah, there you have it. I've always said, if you try out a new show and it doesn't take, I say always come back for the second season. Cause I always say, especially true with Doctor Who, because I always tell everybody, because the actors have got it figured out, what the characters are. The writing team has figured it out too. There's the synergy, and then they hit the ground running. Is that first season? Well, look at Star Trek: The Next Generation first season, and I'll leave it at that. And
Patty, you know what? Patty, who's your favorite?
Pertwee.
Wow,
interesting.
Pertwee, really, I think he was the Victorian gentleman, and he also had the '60s kind of Quentin Crisp sort of pop look to him. And I think if I'm being chased by a paper mache monster, he's the guy I want to save me. Because I think
interesting.
But I cosplay as Troughton, the Second Doctor. Because I got the hype for it. And anyway, that. But hey, Eb Sista, thank you. That was a great question. Took us down some very fun rabbit holes. And let's roll another one. And this comes from Samantha. Which board game do you think your character would win?
Cards Against Humanity.
That's the swearing, right?
Yeah, because it's just swearing. Yeah, I'm just like, you don't even know. Yeah.
But you're not a character, so I'm going to take that one.
What a steal. Emily, I've done this for us here. You can pick a character whose actor or actress is not here, and you may answer for them.
I'm still taking Cards Against Humanity.
You can have it.
I feel like Varun Saranga's Jeremy would win at the most intricate tabletop game that takes you like 75 years to set up, because everyone else would fall asleep or go get drunk.
So. Isn't that like Settlers of Catan or something like that? Like that.
Yeah. Settlers of, does anyone play Settlers of Catan?
Jeff makes me play that.
It's so intimidating to me.
I want to play, but like, oh, I'm too dumb.
It's, let's just let everybody else play, and you've got to, we'll just sit in the corner. And
Jeff is just full of surprises, that guy.
I like him. He's very smart. Yeah.
He's like, I'm shocked at everything that guy can do.
What about Bobo and Nicole playing Candyland? Who's coming out on top?
I think Bobo's winning that. I was going to say Nicole would be really good at that memory game where you flip a card over
and then have to
remember.
Yeah.
Bobo just cheats. So.
Yeah, he would. He would just pocket the gumdrop card or whatever you have.
Well, there you go. Greg, what game would your character be a master at?
I think Natalie would be really good at Trivial Pursuit, but only the music questions.
He'd be surprisingly good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with
movie questions. I think movies.
Movies too. Yeah. But I think Winona would give him a run for his money.
I don't think she can answer those.
Oh, you do a lot of references.
That's true, but they're always pop culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you think Mercedes Gardner would be amazing at Monopoly? She's like the real estate queen.
She would, but then like, what would the widow or Mercedes 2.0 be good at? Like, I feel like
Russian roulette with Lucado. I don't know.
Yes. Oh.
I'm gonna say Bobo. I gotta throw in a Ouija board.
Yeah.
It's a board. It's a game, kind of.
Depending on who you talk to, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Lucado would. I think her game would be Risk. Yes. It's almost like domination, you know, power and stuff.
How is that not trouble. Harder than Settlers of Catan?
Well, I don't actually know how to play Risk.
Oh, so, Risk is fun.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay, I don't know how to play either. Oh, okay.
I just hide out in Australia, which is basically cheating. I just like you just wait and then you come second. Yeah. Anyway, I'll teach you.
Yeah. Danny, what about you, Danny?
Yeah. Oh, Emily answered for me.
No,
yeah, it was them too. I was gonna say Operation. You know where you take the thing.
That's a good one.
I'm gonna say that. I just feel like he's a crafty bitch who's like would be good at that game.
Take out his funny bone for $100.
And Kat, what about you?
Yeah.
Did they answer for you?
I think my answer was memory. The where you flip over the cards and then you have to remember where the other one was.
Yeah.
I think you'd be a good Settlers of Catan.
Nicole, you think Nicole would be good at Settlers of Catan?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Nicole, not you.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, pretty methodical. Yeah.
Yeah, I have played Settlers of Catan once with Patricia, who's our amazing costumer on Winona, and her husband, and I won. But I literally had to be like, so wait, now what do we... I think they had to explain the rules to me like 8 times during the duration of the game. So I'm sure it wasn't very fun for them. And I won on complete fluke. But it was fun.
Amazing.
There you have it, Samantha. You have your answers, and the makers of Settlers of Catan just got an infomercial bump.
Okay.
What do we have next?
What do we got?
From Leanne, what's the one of the funniest memories that jumps out about your experiences?
Oh, I will go right away. It's on the internet. Melanie directing me as Portia and me falling down the stairs. In my mind, that experience... I was mortified. I rarely get embarrassed on set.
So and
I
good.
Was mortified. When I watched it back, I was like, it wasn't that bad. But in my mind, I flattened that poor man. Like,
Danny, can you tell me what it's like to be directed by Mel?
Oh, the best. I was so nervous.
I would be too. I didn't want to let her down.
Nervous about those things, but I just wanted to do such a good job for you. Like, I was like,
oh, you did.
Fucking student that day. I was like, whatever she says to me, just do what she says. Like, I was like, I just wanted to do so good for you that day. It was, I loved it.
But yeah, I remember that moment, and it was like, because, like, as someone who's also fallen downstairs, like, I knew exactly how you felt, but I also knew that it wasn't a big deal, but I knew that you would think it was.
I died. No. So cringy on my inside. Also because I was trying to be sexy and like that.
We know.
Against all my.
Been there.
Did you have to get up and do it again, or did you already have? Like Mel, did you make her do it again?
We're dead.
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't use that one. So
I didn't know. Maybe you got it previous, and you were like, you know what? That's fine. We're just gonna no. Okay.
No, because it was a wall tie-in.
Yeah,
should have made a bigger stage.
Shoes are hard.
Yeah.
Mel, when you directed Mel, was it different? Was it hard to direct your friends?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was?
Yeah, because I don't want to, you know, like we've all had so many bad experiences with directors who just say the wrong thing. They don't even realize it sometimes. And break the person, you know? Like, I don't know. That's how I feel, where I've just been like, even recently I just did a movie and they're like, too big. And just like that word, I was like, but I
like you were directing? You were directing a new movie?
No, somebody was I was acting with it. And you know, like
too big is too hard. Yeah, that's a terrible note.
It's just so, anyway, so I was just constantly like, don't hurt their feelings, but get what you need, but do it in a way that doesn't suck.
That's why you'd be such a giving director, because you're on the other side of actor, but you also know
but then the realities of the pressure and time come in, and then you do turn into a dick sometimes. I mean,
some of the best directors still to this day came from the other side of the camera.
Yeah,
so, there's
I call them actors, directors. You know, if you're sensitive to the nurturing, like you know what the process process is for actors, and if you nurture it as opposed to being technical and economical with your time to get the shot, it just the fact that you're sensitive to it makes you an actor's director, which is I don't know about anybody else, but that's what I prefer to work with.
I did not I didn't get enough time with you that day. I didn't think, like, I felt like I wanted way more days with you, but I felt like you fucking crushed it.
Oh, thank
crushed
you.
It.
Well, you so did you. You, yeah, like, I was so excited to, I was just so, but anyway, I forget what the actual original question is, so I can't even do this back.
the most fun memory from the set.
Oh, yeah. The question was, how do we stop Putin?
Yeah,
we really went off book.
My most fun experiences were.
I'm sorry, Michael.
No, go. You're more
important. Go ahead, Greg.
No. The funniest moment for me was when Winona asked Nedley if Nedley was looking at her ass.
Oh yeah, that was a good improv.
When actors ad-lib lines and stuff, it always makes it a little more fun.
But you didn't break at all.
No,
I was amazed.
It was hysterical, though. I was laughing inside.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good outtakes of that scene with the clearing out the closet, and I think Kat, you broke stuff by accident a bunch because all the props were like. But I guess it was so delightful. Yeah,
that was a fun day.
Yeah. Kat, remember the handcuffs in the snow? Remember running through the snow?
It was the first take of the morning. It was like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and it's pristine snow, and they're like, we can't do it again because the snow, we can't reset the snow.
Oh, so stressful.
Like, we got this, and we just.
And they broke like right away, and we had to stop. And then I think we just started from where we were.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was.
What were you gonna say?
My most fun and enjoyable, it was lunch. It was like off the clock when I would meet you in that weird trailer. You know, we had the buffet.
Oh.
In the white trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-COVID. Yeah. And we would sit at the table, sometimes in silence.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was tired or they were thinking about their scenes. Or we would just like be laughing our asses off. But I just think of all you at one table.
That's nice.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's such a part of like filming that I miss so much, is that sort of coming together at lunch and going over all the bloopers and the funny things and the shit that went wrong. And then like feeling like you're just in it together. And then going back, and if you've got nerves from the morning, they're gone by lunchtime because you've shared it all and laughed it out or whatever. But during COVID, so hard, right?
And fans might not know this, but since COVID, like, we don't get to do that. At least I haven't on set.
It's changed.
So I look back at that time with you guys, and that was like a big, I think for all of us, was a really cool experience making that damn show.
I envy
get us all at one table. That was my favorite.
I really envy the camaraderie that this cast has for each other, because as we all know, not always like that on all shows.
This show like made family and friends, and we don't talk all the time, but we're all bonded.
So Kat, what was your fun day that you got lingers?
Fun day, I mean, I always remember shooting episode 307 like with Mel. And I remember just feeling so free, because I think I always felt like the little kid or something. I don't know. I always felt like I didn't know what I was doing. And I was you go home at night and you like replay all the stupid things you did in the day, or the dumb things you said, or the mistakes you made. And you like go home and have that. And that was like one of the first consistent times where I felt like very free and non-judgmental of myself. And I had so much fun, like with, especially with Melanie. And then when we had days with Jan, like that was really one like long period of time where I didn't judge myself so much. And I think I allowed myself to have a lot of fun. And it's a very, very fond memory and turning point for me on my like acting journey. of like letting some stuff go. So it was very like fun and special. And a huge, I mean, massive credit to Melanie, especially. So that sticks out for me.
Oh, you remember the actual episode?
Yeah, I remember the episode.
3-7.
Yeah.
We had such fun on that. Yeah, that's like.
We had such fun.
Yeah.
No wife, baby.
Life. Emily, bring us home. What was your most fun day?
I've had so many, but I have more specific memories of everyone on this call. Like, I have such fond specific memories of everyone. Like, I have a really good memory of Kate after she did the huge fight with Dolls with Shamir. Do you remember, Kate, when you had, like, and you worked so hard to choreograph that in the homestead.
Yeah.
And you were like, I am not going to sleep for 4 days. That was so incredible. Like, I just have such an incredible memory of you being so stoked. I have a great memory of Danny being in the, like, Danny, it is hard to explain what I did to Danny on the show. Like, she showed up and she was a realtor, and then she was wearing a big bustle, and then her face got torn off. And like, in the spirit of what Mel said, where you never have enough time, one of my regrets is Danny's like, what's happening next? And I was like, your face is getting torn off. Don't worry about it. Like, when we were in the van once, I'm so sorry, but I knew you could do it. And like, I have such amazing memories of like Mikey on set. My mom came to set, and like Mikey was the first person my mom met. And like, she was just so blown away by him. And like, he's got such a different energy than Bobo that like, I just remember him being so kind to her and like stuff like that. Like, I remember when scenery fell on Greg, which was not a good memory, but like, I remember that. I'm so sorry. Like, and then I'll just end on one of my favorite memories, which is actually sort of an awful memory, but just speaks to how much I love the show, is the morning we were shooting Dolls' funeral. It was literally the first scene up in the day, but we were up on this beautiful hill by the homestead, and we had to take snow machines up to the site. And I so rarely got on set. I was so excited. It was so beautiful. I got to ride a snow machine with like some hot grip, and I got off and like, I burst into the tent with all the cast who were preparing to do this emotional, incredible scene. And I did like a high kick over my head and was like, woo! And everybody was like crying and listening to like music to get ready for this horrible moment. And Tim just looked at me and was like, Andrus. But like, I just remember that moment about like how dedicated everyone is, how safe the space felt. You know what I mean? That we all like love the show. But I know we say this a lot, but honestly, Patty, it was such a special show. And it just, there was something about the dedication of the people. And like, it was such a weird show, but everybody just committed so hard and brought their A game. And like, I've said this many, many times, but I'm telling you, I just will never have another cast like this. Thank you so much, you guys. It just, and you see it, like what legacy this has with the fans, and it really changed my life. So thank you so much, you guys.
There you have it. Leanne, that was a great question. Thank you so much. Panelists, as always, it's been a delight. Any final words before we take our leave?
I was dying to know what that last question was going to be. But
all right, Paul, roll it. If we could go through it really quick.
Roll it.
Julie, if you were all in a band, what would the band's name be?
The Calamity Janes.
I'm done.
I love you guys. I can't wait to see you in person.
Miss you guys so much.
Once again, it's been my absolute pleasure to serve you all. Thank you so again for joining us on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Thank you to our audience for joining us, and thank you for your great questions. Hope to see everybody again soon. Until then, bye bye, take care, and remember, smiles are free. Spend them often.
Bye. Thanks, Patty. Thanks, Herbers.
Bye, guys.